The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
I'm Natalie Morris, and this is The Netball Show with Flyhawk. Alex Wallace is from the Mintridge Foundation. This week, they delivered their 300th programme with Pamela Cookie. Andy has been speaking to Alex about some of the challenges they've faced over the last year and how she's seen the business grow over the years.
Alex, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me yet again. You'll be bored of my voice soon.
Never. First of all, let's have a look at the fact that Mintridge have delivered their 300th programme.
Yes, it was amazing. We had it on Monday of this week, and the fact that it was delivered by Pamela Cookie just made it that extra special moment for us. It obviously wasn't in the way that we wanted to deliver it, but we managed to keep going with the virtual world, and Pamela was able to reach that milestone, which was brilliant.
If you look back on those early days to now, it's been a very special journey along the way.
Yes, it has. And I think that's one thing that I've struggled with lockdown. It's so special and every programme is very different that we haven't been able to see that impact directly. It's all been through a screen. So that's been something that I've really missed. So to be able to celebrate in some capacity, however big or small, it's important to celebrate. So, yeah, the 300 was a big milestone and just shows how far we've come from that day back in 2015 when it all started.
I think we looked on it on a previous podcast, because I do believe we've spoken before, but how easy was it to actually adapt to the outbreak with the online sessions and meetings? Was it relatively straightforward?
I think we were very lucky and very fortunate that we had our online programs going anyway as part of our mentoring, which meant that in terms of launching and creating new safeguarding procedures, finding new platforms that worked well, we didn't have to do that because that was there. So I think it was just learning what we could do, what we couldn't do, and I think the hardest thing for us has been the constant changes. So schools opening, schools closing, are we allowed in, are we not allowed in? So many different tiers. But now we're at a stage of this third lockdown that everyone's in a similar position and starting to build momentum around the virtual world, which has been great. But no, it has been tough. There's been lots of tears and various meltdowns from my side particularly, but we'll keep going and we'll show that what the power of sport can do.
How about the fact that not just yourselves but the whole netball community as well have had to maybe rely on corporate partners a bit more? How important have they been for you?
Oh, hugely. But I think one area that I've been very particular on is that yes, we're looking for support in terms of funding, but I've been really trying to get clarity in my message into how we can support the corporates too, to engage, new audiences for them as well as engage the grassroots for us. So that's been great in terms of aligning the values with corporates that we really want to work with. And we've been so grateful for those that have stuck by us in this difficult time, because it has been really difficult for everyone. So partners such as Limitless, who we worked with on the 300th programme, they've been fantastic in getting our message out there. And we might be biased, but the fact it was netball was an added bonus.
And speaking of those netball ambassadors, obviously Pamela, Georgia and Ebony as well, now special people at the best of times. How have they been over the last year or so since it started?
Oh, they have been, all of them are just superhuman, I swear. They've been brilliant. And I think particularly in the first lockdown, Ebony was mentoring a couple of netballers. And it just showed that someone like Ebony, the talent, the career that she's got behind her, was in exactly the same position as these students from sort of 17, 18-year-old students. And everything she was doing day to day was the same as what these girls were doing. So I think it removed even more of those barriers, and it helped the young people particularly see that, wow, if someone like Ebony is going through this and she's adapting, how can I adapt in the same way? So that's been great. Georgia just to even have the time to speak to us with her busy schedule now that she is, now she's a doctor as well. We're, it's brilliant. And Pam, as ever, just the messages that she's getting across that can't be lost and can't be forgotten at the moment, in terms of taking everything day by day, step by step, and celebrating those small wins and celebrating being you, which I think it's hard to remember sometimes. So yeah, they are, can you tell we're big fans of theirs?
We are too, so that's all right. We can both appreciate that. You never stop. So what's this I say about 7 days, one marathon?
Yes, yeah. We like a challenge, and actually my legs are a little bit sore at the moment because I pushed myself today on a run. So we've been really conscious that obviously we need to look at different fundraising avenues than we normally do, because our mass participation events can't go ahead, and we're very keen on our fundraising being through active channels to show the objectives of the charity. But there has been virtual fatigue, and we were concerned that we didn't want to just keep banging the same drum, sharing the same messages. So we thought, what if there's an incentive for everyone? And we're all looking forward to a holiday at the end of this crazy time. So we've teamed up with Charitable Travel, and we have got the opportunity for a holiday for two to Dubai post-pandemic. Yes, it's fantastic. But in doing so, in order to be entered into the draw for this amazing holiday, we're asking people to run, walk, bike, scoot, wheel, horse ride, whatever it might be, one marathon in 7 days. So it's achievable, but it is setting a challenge, and it's bringing focus that people need at this time when they don't necessarily have it. So it's being really well received, and we're hoping that lots more will sign up, because it's across the whole of February and March, so just picking one week in that time, and off people go. So yes, it started well, and we're just hoping to build the momentum.
So it's only just started, really, so plenty of time for people to get involved. How can we find out more is the important question.
Yes, absolutely. So it started on the 1st of February, and it runs through to the 31st of March. We'll be announcing the winner on April Fool's Day, but we can assure you that it won't be a hoax. It will be very, very true. But to find out more, it's on across all of our social channels, Mintridge FDN, and it's also on our website as well, which helps pinpoint and point everyone in the right direction for signing up and how that element of it works.
Alex, thanks as always for your time. Can we ask you about who you fancy for the title now the league's been confirmed? Oh. I'm not allowed to say it either way, but you can.
Can I? Well, it'll be between Team Bath and Saracens Mavericks.
Covering your back. Brilliant. Thank you again, and catch up soon.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much, Andy.
Search Mintridge FDN online or mintridgefoundation.org.uk for more info. As we've heard, Mintridge netball ambassadors include Ebony Yosora-Brown and Pamela Cookie. Also on that list is Georgia Lees, and she told us why she's been involved.
They've just been set up as a charity to help go into local schools and clubs, provide coaching sessions or presentations and talks, just to help, you know, really inspire sort of young kids from a young age to get active and to get involved in sport.
How did you get involved with them?
Just for a coaching day that I did with them. Pamela Cookie is also an ambassador for them. That's how I got in touch with Alex, who's the director of Mintridge. I just really, really love it, with a real wide range of kids that you see.
And the other netball ambassadors are Pamela and Ebony as well, so nice to be among them.
Yeah, definitely. And it's quite nice, I guess, for the schools and their inquiring that they have sort of farm from a defence point of view, goal shooter point of view, and sort of a midcourt point of view as well. So it's a real good mixture of like specific player positions that they've got as well there.
They're involved with a lot of different sports as well. So have you had the advantage of being at an ambassadors meeting where you all served small chocolates with little nuts on top of them?
Yeah, so they have lots of training days with a company called Switch to Play, and they're just all about actually helping athletes, once they've reached sort of the end of their career and retire from their sport, on what to do next. So, you know, we've attended sort of a few of those days as well, and all got to know each other, and it's a real good mix of athletes that are on board.
What was it like on that initial call to be asked to help out?
When I first got asked if I could go and help, I didn't really know what I was signing myself into. I said, yeah, of course, I'll come along. And just as I've done more and more camps with them, I just really sort of like their ethos about sort of reaching out to a wide range of different kids, different schools, different types of schools. Yeah, so I'm just really, really, really enjoying getting out to coach with them.
You must get loads out of it. Can you see the difference in the players?
Yeah, definitely. One of the girls I had, the development that you just see in her confidence from sort of Skype session number one to 6 months on, just, you know, the confidence has really, really grown. And I think it's also given the girls a belief that actually, you know, if you do want to compete at a higher level, it is achievable. Yes, you have to put in the hard work, but you can definitely get there. And what with the setup of so many different under-21s, under-19s, under-15 squads that have all been set up now with the franchises, there's so much more opportunity to get involved at high-level sport from a younger age. And that's far more opportunity than what I had as a 16-year-old, a 15-year-old. So for them, you know, I think it's just given them the encouragement and the belief that the opportunities are there, and it's completely up to them if they want to work hard to get them.
You've always done camps at Storm, but this takes it to a different level.
Yeah, a real different level. And, you know, I love doing the Surrey Storm camps. And, you know, it's really good to see sort of half-term camp upon half-term camp. You get sort of the same girls that are returning, as well as some new girls as well. But actually getting to travel around sort of most of the UK. We've done camps down in Brighton, up in Leeds, done loads of sort of Yorkshire-based ones. So to actually get to travel around and see the sort of the different styles of play and the different setups that different clubs have in the different parts of the UK has been really good as well.
And how can we find out more about the services Mintridge offer?
So they're really big on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You know, you can give them a follow on there. Any schools or anything like that that want to have an appearance day, that want to get involved, you know, my biggest advice would just be to get on board, because the coaching days that you get, not just for the netball, but for a range of different sports as well, are really fantastic. And all of the ambassadors are great.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.